As you all know, today is Republic Day, a day in which the people of India celebrate their declaration of a collective commitment to be demons. Because ya shastra vidim udsrija vartate kama karataha nasa siddhina vapnati nasukam na paramgatim. Those who don't follow shastra are demons. Or, more precisely, demons don't follow shastra, and therefore they can attain neither sukh, as I said, and they can attain neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. So to have a republic is against the shastric order. There should be a king. So this whole state of India was conceived in a demoniac attitude. Could write an article about that next year. Could expand it into an article. There is a there was a similar in the article in Back to Godhead in English for the bicentennial of America's independence from the British Crown, and that. On the front page of the Bhakti Gaur, I remember distributing, it must have been 1976, the title was given, Declaring Our Dependence on God, instead of independence. Anyway, taking advantage of the holiday, that's it, he's wearing the tricolor with Gandhi's charaka, which no one gives a damn for. Is that Gandhi? No, or is that Ashok's? Ashok's thing. Yeah. No one gives a damn for that either. So that's supposed to show you're a good Indian. Anyway, taking advantage of that, you're all assembled here, taking a break from the grind of trying to make a few pennies on today's holiday. And the discussion is writing for Bhagavad Darshan. What's the actual topic of the seminar? It's the writing for Bhagavad Darshan in Tamil. Specifically, in Tamil. So it's a great credit that within a short time of relaunching, was it ever launched before? Bhagavad Darshan in Tamil, it was never going on.
Just 2-3 months.
In, yeah.
One time it was 2 months, another time it was 1 month.
Yeah, so for the first time, total of 3 issues previously, and now Sri Giridhara Hari Prabhu for the last 3 years has been bringing it out every month and won an award for that. What was the award for?
Just simple.
No, what was it? Was it for layout or design or content or quality of language? There's so many different things.
Some
special contribution. The award could be for so many different things.
Yeah.
What was it specifically? Just some people who wanted to promote themselves by giving awards to others.
Yeah.
That's another thing. There's people like the Rotary Club and the Lions Club. The main aim is just to promote themselves. And that's all. Not to do good for anyone. Anyway, you got an award. So, okay. And just ahead of Gujarati, Bhagavad Darshan is the second biggest circulation in the world, after English, after Hindi. English is not number one? Oh, when you said number two, I presume that number one was English. It means between Back to Godhead in America and in India, altogether, it's only 8,000 copies.
Yes, they've been 5,000.
In America, they print 5,000. In India,
2,000
only in English. Well,
that's the international.
Oh, and there's an Indian English edition also?
That is 8,000.
That's 8,000. So total is about 15,000. Well, considering some of the content, maybe it's good, it's not so much. So, yeah, that's a credit to be in number two position. Although, in one sense, we can say it's very good. There are 26,000 printed every month. 26,000. You'll know that it's really becoming successful when you find out that the printer's clandestinely printing extra copies that we didn't find out yet, and selling. It's not so likely to happen with a magazine. More likely to happen with a big book in which there's plenty of profit, like Ramayana or Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav. So that's a credit. On the other hand, there's a long way to go. Only 25,000 for a world Tamil-speaking population of about, what is it, 10 crores? 10, 12 crores, so much? Not 12. Yeah, Malaysia, Sri Lanka, Singapore, America, Europe. There are only a few in America. I would think 10 crores, 100 million. So, Tamil Nadu, there's 80 million. And of course, throughout India, there's probably another 5 million. Tunnels here and there. So, got a long way to go. You have to. For all the techniques to popularize the magazine, it is the quality of the writing ultimately. Some magazines are famous. And popular, not only because of the quality of the writing, but also because of the quality of the artwork, particularly the photos. And National Geographic would come in that category. Life magazine used to be in that category. I'm not sure. It died for many years. There are other magazines which are bought for the quality of their content. We can think of India Today. I'm not saying that I'm in favor of the content, but it has become popular because it's written in an engaging style about issues that people are interested in. And it's by far the number one informational magazine in India, and there are others also, but that's number one. And in all the major languages of India now. So the writing, ultimately, I mean, there's layout, get up, artwork, but ultimately the writing is important. So this, I have to discuss about writing. You're all right. How many of you have actually written and been published in Bhagavad Darshan? Please raise a hand. None from the ladies? We don't have any Mataji. Well, we do have Mataji writers, but none of them are present here today. Priyadarshini Mataji wrote something that was published?
Yeah, once.
Once, yeah. And Gita Govinda Mataji and wrote how many, two or three times?
Five.
She's a regular contributor. And that Krishna Kamini Mataji wrote once. In Mysore there's one. She's Tamil, but she writes in English. She wrote something. I asked her to send it to you, but she didn't send it. She wrote in English. Okay, so there's a great need to write, to counteract India Today and everything else. in the world, to counteract all the wrong ideas. That's a very ambitious project, to counteract all the wrong ideas in the world, because almost every idea is a wrong idea. And by the power of Maya, there are always new wrong ideas coming out. Everything that the materialistic people think is wrong. So there's a lot of work to counteract. Of course, you can't take up every little idea that comes in people's heads, but there are various issues, philosophies, misconception. Philosophy means misconception, unless it's Krishna conscious. So all these have to be counteracted, and to give the right idea, to give people that understanding by which they can actually be benefited. Do we need this light on here? It's unnecessary. Yeah. So to counteract all wrong ideas, to give people the right idea, for that we ourselves will have to be convinced of what is the right idea and be able to apply that in all situations. Especially Bhakti Godhead is one of the main functions is presenting the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in topical terms. That means in terms of things that are going on in the world around us at the present time, rather than in purely philosophical terms. There can be pure philosophy also, which is just like, for instance, we state Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all other living beings are subordinate to Him. Now that statement is independent of any context. It's true in all times, places, and circumstances. But contextual or topically, that could be applied to say that why are there so many problems in the world, and we can relate that to some particular problem. Just like Srila Prabhupada himself, he is literally the founder of Bhakti Godhead magazine. He was the writer, publisher, distributor. There was no editor. He was all in all in the beginning. Very soon after coming to America, he gave it to his disciples, even when they were very raw and rough in Krishna consciousness. And you can see some of the first Bhakti Godhead magazines, they had some rather strange things, which wouldn't, well, maybe they'd be printed again now, but Srila Prabhupada had to admonish his disciples for printing some nonsensical things. So Srila Prabhupada himself, you could see that Srila Prabhupada was reading the newspapers, and then he would take some quote and build an article from that. That was common, that was his standard technique for his front page articles, for his lead articles, that's called. For instance, he noted that George Bernard Shaw, who was famous at that time and is still somewhat famous now, had congratulated Mahatma Gandhi on his birthday. I can't remember which birthday, 70th birthday or something, and said that we could only wish that it was your 27th birthday instead of your 72nd birthday, something like that. And so Srila Prabhupada, in a tongue-in-cheek comical style, said that, well, we join George Bernard Shaw in wishing like this, but actually it's not possible because time doesn't work. Time works to destroy. You can't turn it back. So Srila Prabhupada built a whole essay on that. And there's another. I believe that was originally written in Bengali. When he was writing Bengali articles for the Gauriya Patrika, published by Keshav Maharaj, and he picked up on the commentary about he began the memories of Jallianwala Bagh are over, and there was one phrase that, which I can't remember now, is in Bengali translated into English, that Srila, the point is that Srila Prabhupada would pick up on issues that people are interested in. If you start off an article that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and all other living beings are his servants, most people in the world will not be interested to read anymore. If you start off with something about, at least at that time, about George Bernard Shaw and Mahatma Gandhi, at least people who are somewhat intellectual, actually anyone, because at that time people who could read wasn't so many. So, and the level of discourse was higher. Now, mass education has led to tabloids, cine blitz, and pornographic magazines. And in fact, even the ordinary newspapers are becoming more and more like pornographic magazines. So Srila Prabhupada would start with a topic that people are interested in and then bring in the Krishna conscious philosophy. So there's a great need to counteract all the wrong ideas and to give all the right ideas. Now we may think that, well, what need is there for right when there's us to write when there are already so many books. Srila Prabhupada said, speaking in the 1970s, that if we were to translate all the Vedic literature, especially the Vaishnava literature, No, that's another statement. He said that should all be translated. But one statement said that if you sat down now and you wanted to read it, you couldn't finish it in your life. And now there's even more with so many books. There's one feature of the influence of Srila Prabhupada is that after his departure, there's been a literary explosion. So much writing, a huge amount of writing, so many books and articles, and with the internet, that's added to that. So if you can't keep up with it all, so you may think that what is the need to write? Well, in Tamil, there's not so much. There's a lot in English, Krishna conscious literature. In Tamil, there may be in the especially Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya and Madhva Sampradaya also. Not much from the Gauriya Sampradaya. But we need to write. Oh, someone else has got some comment, it seems, on some other issues. For our own purification, and to communicate the message in various formats to various people with various interests. Once I was speaking to one of my godbrothers who was saying that we should have all kinds of literature and we have to think of how to preach, apart from preaching Krishna consciousness in a generic or general style. We have to think how we have to write books, and he gave the example. He was from the Caribbean, which means the West Indies. Is you all know that from Indian people know what the West Indies is, Caribbean area. So he said there are people who they live on boats and they go from island to island and they do some trading. They have their own culture. So he said we need books for them, specifically for them. I never even heard of such people, but he was suggesting. The idea is that different people have different interests and we have to try and catch them at their level of interest. And as Srila Prabhupada said, inject the Krishna conscious poison. beneficent poison, benefit poison. Srila Prabhupada wrote that the first purpose of writing is self-purification. It may be published, it may not be published, but we write for our own purification. And Srila Prabhupada said, every devotee should write something every day, even if it's just a little. Write down your realizations, because that helps to formulate them. Every devotee should have some realizations if we're actually working on thinking of Krishna and considering the topics of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and all the shastras. And we should have some realizations. Write it down, write it down. Writing is a major service. It's also a form of kirtan. But the first and foremost, for our own purification. And we can say also because Srila Prabhupada told us, he said to make this magazine, he ordered his disciples to write, so for our own purification, because Srila Prabhupada said to do it, because we need to communicate a message to others, it should be conducted in a mood of service, not that we're thinking that I will be published and people will recognize me. Not to show off our scholarship, whatever little scholarship we may have. Not to promote ourselves in a mood of humble service. And that writing will be effective if it's in that mood. Otherwise, it may be effective in another way. If it's not written with pure motivation, then it may be effective in promoting ourselves or whatever mundane desire we may have. But it won't please Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. Srila Prabhupada also said that writing is the best way to remember Krishna, because then we're forced to. If you have to write something about Krishna, then you have to remember Krishna. Writing about the tailored for different audiences. In writing, one of the basic techniques we'll find that teachers of writing always emphasize is that when we're writing, we have to be aware of our intended audience. So, who's going to read it? How will they relate? How can we predict that this will affect them? Will they accept it? Maybe if it was put in a little different way, they could accept it better. What is the level of language? That's a consideration. If we write in very high scholarly language, that will be appreciated by people who are highly scholarly, but many other people may not be able to understand it very much at all. If we put it very simply, it can be overly simplified, in the sense, especially in Indian languages, which there's the form which is traditionally used for writing on religious topics, which is with a lot of Sanskrit words. Now, I know that according to the propaganda, Tamil doesn't have any Sanskrit words, but of course it does. So there's, or you can write in that which more resembles street language or cinema language, but that's not very much appreciated. It may be better understood, but it's not very much appreciated. And at least to my ear, I don't understand Tamil, but I understand Hindi and Bengali. It just doesn't sound so appropriate for philosophical and religious topics to use Urdu words, English words. It certainly sounds more decorative or more appropriate to use words that our acharyas use, Sanskrit words. So that's, but you have to see how much it's understood. If you can educate your audience to understand the Sanskrit words, then that's a great help for them to understand the whole philosophy, because then you don't have to try and explain the Sanskrit word every time. And the explanation will never be exactly accurate. Just like many of our basic words, how do you explain it in English? Of course, English is a language a long way removed from Sanskrit. How do you explain words like prem, bhakti, rasa, seva? You can just translate seva as service, but it has a whole, it has a much greater connotation in when connected with Krishna and Krishna consciousness. So these are considered the level of language, the style of language that you use is also a consideration. And do you have any editorial policy about that? Or you, what's your policy?
We use words usually which are familiar. All these words are familiar.
All these words which I've said are familiar, yeah.
Prema and rasa are not well known.
Prema and rasa are not well known in Tamil. You have to make it well known.
We use that in the first occasion with meaning, and then we just use
Right, okay.
In every
article. Yeah. Of course, prema is often used just to mean mundane love also. I mean, even in Bhagavatam, for that matter. So, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's used for... No, in Bhagavatam, it's sometimes used in that to mean affection on the mundane level. But in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's specifically used to mean the highest love for Krishna, pure love for Krishna. So there are linguistic considerations. We may not get hung up on that too much also. I mean, there's an important point of writing is, apart from all the techniques, yeah, well, let me speak a little bit about the techniques first of all. There are techniques. We may think, well, let me just sit down and write something naturally, spontaneously. But there are techniques in writing also. It's just like if you want to cook for Krishna, you may think, well, let me just do it spontaneously. But if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to make a mess. There are certain techniques to be followed. Writing is not exactly like that, because it's less of a chemical activity and more of a subtle psychological activity. But still there are certain techniques. For instance, using correct grammar and punctuation. Or not using correct grammar and punctuation. If you're a very expert writer, might not do. But in general, we always use... He may deliberately not do, but in general, in Bhagavad Darshan, there's correct grammar and punctuation. One should know these things. Don't burden the editor with your ignorance. If you, I mean, we all do. I do, to my editor, but I must admit, I'm not so good in grammar. And the punctuation rules are arbitrary in many cases, and even different experts disagree with each other over what they are. But there are limits to their disagreements also. It's not that anything goes. So there's that, and there are also techniques which I know of from English, but they probably apply in Tamil also. Breaking long sections of writing into paragraphs. So otherwise it just looks too long and it boggles the mind of the reader. We have to remember that we're all products of Kali Yuga here. Sentences should not unnecessarily be long and complex. They may be long and complex, but not unnecessarily so, especially for Bhagavad Darshan. If you're writing a philosophical work, then you may have long and complex. There may be specifically philosophical articles in Bhagavad Darshan also, but generally not. Not very complex philosophy. That's for specialists. This is a magazine for mass distribution. So complex philosophy is for specialists, even within our movement. It's not that that's meant for everyone. So Bhagavad Darshan should generally be simple and clear and Krishna conscious. We may discuss topics such as, or we may refer to topics such as politics, current affairs, but only just refer to them, not that we go into great detail. Bring in the Krishna consciousness. So, but the techniques should also, we should know the various techniques. Bringing your essay to a conclusion so that people can, it should have a specific focus, not that you're just writing about one thing and then something else, not stream of consciousness writing. That means you just write whatever comes in your head and let it, just write it down. But there should be a specific point in your article. That's, of course, that's if you're making a point. It can also be a retelling of the story of how Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest. But so you might not, it might not be too, that kind of article might not be specifically to demonstrate a particular philosophical point, although various philosophical points will be presented along with the story. But most of the, in one edition of Bhagavad Darshan, there may be one story, one maximum two story type articles, and the story should also be shastric. But many articles will be on various issues, philosophical, and so they should have a clear focus. You should know what you're going to say. You should, in an article for Bhagavad Darshan, it shouldn't be that you're writing to try and understand some issue yourself. Sometimes if there's some philosophical issue in your mind, you may write to try and understand it better, but that article should not be for Bhagavad Darshan. It should be an issue in which you have a very clear understanding and message, which is clearly based on the teachings of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, and you should clearly communicate that. So these are various writing techniques which one should be aware of. Presumably Sri Giridhari Prabhu will speak more about that. There are many, many, many books written in English about this. If you want a list of books recommended by Jayadvaita Swami, who's within our movement considered the ultimate authority on writing and editing, so he gave me a list. So I could give you that list if you want. Otherwise, you could get bogged down. You could read so many books. It's also interesting to consider that, not all the books are very good. The essential book for every writer in English is known by the name of its author, Strunk and White. If you walk into any bookshop in England or America and ask for Strunk and White, they'll give it to you. It's known by... It's called The Elements of Style. It's a very thin book. It's not much in it. One of the main points in their style, and you can see it very prominently in Jayadvaita Swami's writing, is don't use one word more than necessary. Not even one syllable more. Short sentences. So it's not that everyone has to write in that style, but that trimmed-down style makes everything very clear. So if you don't read any other book on writing technique, you should read that one, because all the basics are right there. And you can probably get it at, what's that famous bookshop here? Noble and Barnes? Higgin and Bothams. So presumably they have that also. It's a must read. In fact, it's a good idea to read it. If you're going to be regularly writing, it's a good idea to read it at least once a year for writing techniques. And then on top of all techniques is just to write naturally also. That must be there in Strunk and White also, that don't get too much hung up on technique. Techniques are required, but don't get too much hung up. You have to write about what you feel about. If you think, now I have to write something, what will I write about? Then your writing won't be the same as if you have to write it. The best writing is the kind of writing that goes on. Maybe in the middle of the night you wake up and you say, I have to write something. I got to write that down. Maybe in the middle of your meal, you have to write something at any time. Burijan Prabhu, who I attended a writing course given by him many years ago, he said it may go even in your japa, when you're supposed to be hearing then the thoughts may come, I have to write. So what I do, you may have seen, I make little notes, because you can't just punctuate your whole life by writing all the time. Then you have no regulation whatsoever. So I make little notes when something comes in my mind about something I want to write, and then I write it down later. I elaborate on it later. My main endeavor in writing for the last few months has been catching up on all the notes from more than 2 years, which I was just making more and more notes and not writing them down, so I'm catching up on them now. An essential technique for devotee writers is to be Krishna conscious. If you're not Krishna conscious, then your writing is going to be useless or worse. So we have to chant our rounds. We have to rise early. Read. We have to read. Writing means we're writing philosophy. We have to read Prabhupada's books and be absorbed in that. And maybe other things also. If you're going to write about Krishna consciousness in this world, well, we have to be aware of what's going on in this world. That doesn't mean you have to read every word on every page of every newspaper, but we should be aware what's in people's minds. What are the topics? What are the issues? What are the topics that people are thinking about, that they're concerned about, that there's much debate on, and confusion and dissonance in humans in the society. That also goes for speaking. If you want to speak, then in public, then we may. If not necessarily speak on these topics, but we may bring in something that people are interested in, just like in our college preaching, in India especially, if we at least demonstrate a knowledge of what people call science, then people, the students, they become impressed by that. They think, oh, that was about science. Oh, well, we should listen to them. because they have a very high opinion of that stuff that they're fed with, which is called science, not understanding that education is, they're told that it's for your benefit, but actually it's just to manipulate, just so that you can be better manipulated. More educated means more manipulable, if there's any such word as that. Following in Srila Prabhupada's footsteps, be bold in your writing. If the writing is not bold, then it's liable to be drab. If you don't have anything special to say, then it's boring. If you just say the same as everyone else, oh, we heard about the shooting in the school in America, we're all very sorry about that. Then what have you got to say? And everyone says that. There should be some fresh perspective, and actually that is what we have to give. What is the Krishna conscious perspective on the... You remember, it's already forgotten. That was about 2 weeks ago. It's already forgotten. Shooting of 20 kids in a school. Oh, after that, there was another one in university in Texas. But that was different kind. That was an argument. It was a bona fide fight between different people. And then they shot each other. But this massacre of kids, which is becoming normal... What is the Krishna conscious perspective? Not that, well, we feel very sorry. Okay, let's have a look at the sports news. But what is the Krishna, why is this happening? What is the Krishna conscious perspective? Because you are killing so many, you're so mercilessly slaughtering millions of cows, sheep, buffalo, not many buffaloes in America anymore. Goats, not in America also so much, chicken, fish, babies, human babies in the womb, therefore you can expect that this kind of, what they call, this senseless killing of children is not independent of the senseless killing of millions of animals, birds and fish. And human babies in the womb. This senseless killing is not delinked from the whole grossly materialistic and ignorant trajectory of human society. It's just like that we have this gang rape in Delhi, which so much overblown. You can't have kids growing up watching rape on TV. I don't know if it's on the TV, in the movies, definitely on the internet, and a grossly materialistic society promoting lust in every way possible, and not have gang rapes. It's absurd to think that women on one hand are encouraged to be sexy and tempting, and on the other hand, they don't want to get raped. So it's like you tempt, 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 and then when they rape you, oh, you shouldn't do that. So what is the Krishna conscious perspective? It should be something fresh and different. Otherwise, it's not meaningful. Why are we publishing this magazine at all? Because this is Bhagavad Darshan. This we want to present. What is the vision of Krishna? How does Krishna teach us to see this world? That is not the same as mundane people see it. So we should present that. What is Krishna's view as understood through Shastra? How does it apply to our lives? Most people think, well, scripture is just something for these fanatical people who are interested in it. And if they want, well, let them read it. But it's got nothing to do with me. But we should show how the teachings of Bhagavad Gita extend to every sphere of life. and how by understanding the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, we can live in this world in a way that we can get out of it. The whole endeavor of human society, for all their big talks of peace conferences and Nobel Prize for Dalai, eat a lot of meat every day, Lama, and all this kind of thing, we are getting more and more entangled in the complexities of material existence, and we don't even know it. So Bhagavad Gita teaches that and teaches us how to become extricated from that. So it is a completely different vision. And therefore we shouldn't fall into the trap of just sounding spiritual, like the Dalai Lama and so many others, but he's a famous and most venerated cheetah, so we say his name. He's prototypical for, that means he's like a model for all the rest. They talk about compassion, love, peace, universal love, and all this kind of thing. But Srila Prabhupada, he pointed out this is just garbage. They're just talking words. They don't even have love for their so-called universal love. What they think is love is actually envy for all living beings, because they want to institute love without Krishna. So that means actually they're envious. And by preaching that, they're preaching that which will cause everyone to recycle in birth and death again and again. So actually their so-called preaching of love is just another ploy to keep everyone in suffering. It's actually an expression of their evil. So we should have a different outlook. Don't just imitate the bogus sadhus who smile, hold a flower in their hand, and talk about love. Be different. Krishna's vision is different. At the same time, not fanatical. Fanatical means that we simply berate others without understanding the topic and without being able to make others understand it also. I've discussed this in the book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's service. It's not enough to call people rascals. You have to show them how they are rascals, why they are rascals, and how they can stop being rascals. Just like Srila Prabhupada said, it's not enough to say God is great. You have to understand how God is great. So it's not enough simply to call people names, but you have to understand and show to others how their life is going in the wrong direction. So it should be vital, should be meaningful. It should give that perspective by which we can see just on the masthead or back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada designed it with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, looking up, and then that was later changed to our own Srila Prabhupada looking up with his finger up, looking up toward Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, and the light is coming from them. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sahodito Goro Deya Pushpavanto Chitro Shando Tamo Nado. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda have arisen on the horizon of Gaur, West Bengal, too, just like the sun and the moon, to wonderfully bestow benediction on all. So the light of transcendental knowledge, everything should be clear, by which people can understand what is the actual situation. So of course one has to be convinced oneself. One has to be fixed in Siddhanta, in proper understanding, and one has to be convinced of this and able to convince others. Give references, especially if you're quoting some item of material knowledge. And Shastra also, you should give references. Or if you say Srila Prabhupada said, you should be able to give references. And get your facts right. Don't quote something in a vague way. Also, make it specific. Instead of saying that scientists say there are black holes in space, it's better to quote a scientist and give his position. Dr. Stephen Hawking's, whatever his position is, the professor of something or other at Cambridge University, at least he used to be, give his position, and give a specific quote. That's much better than giving a vague general quote. Scientists talk about black. It could be, you say, if scientists talk about black holes, if it's a passing reference, but if it's a major theme that you want to deal with in your article, then you should reference it properly. And get your facts right. Don't say that scientists say that asteroids come out of black holes. You might have heard someone say that, but you better make sure that's right. But as far as I know, it's not right. So don't. It might sound right to you, but make sure you get your facts right. If you may have heard, just like for instance, the Bible is often quoted, Jesus is often quoted as saying that money is the root of all evil. So that's often quoted. But the full quote from Jesus, as it appears in the Bible, he may or may not have said it, but it appears in the Bible, is that the love of money is the root of all evil. There's a lot of difference between those two statements. So, get it right. Okay, there are a few points. And any questions? There may be. This is, I've given a general overview. Probably any questions, and you can deal with all of that. Okay, Hare Krishna. Should make Bhagavad Darshan such a magazine that every thoughtful person, there are not so many of them, and modern education makes people less and less thoughtful. I'm not saying that as a simply to insult it or to put it down, but and I don't have facts and figures with me now, but that's even recognized by many scholars, that modern education is actually making people more stupid. And we can see the level of writing. When few people were educated, the level of education was more high. Now everyone is educated, and usually where there's quantity, the quality comes down. So there are still some thoughtful people, and we want to make people thoughtful by giving them a jolt. Giving them a jolt means statements like this. Probably most people, they never link the violence and strife and general dissatisfying atmosphere in modern society. They don't link that to, for instance, animal slaughter. So we should point that out, that by the laws of karma, there is an effect. And apart from the direct effect, those who kill will be killed, there's a psychic effect also. That if there's mass animal slaughter going on, then the whole atmosphere is polluted and people, they tend to commit more sinful activity. So this kind of statement is factual, but it's meant to give people a jolt so they start to think about these things, which they never thought about it. So we should aim that our Bhagavad Darshan should be Shinvanti Gayanti Gurnanti Sadhava, should be heard, discussed and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest, by thoughtful persons. Oh, there's another important point. We should also directly challenge wrong ideas. That should also be there. Especially Srila Prabhupada wanted to challenge the idea that life arises by random combination of chemicals. Srila Prabhupada was most concerned to challenge that and to challenge impersonalism. And there are many other things that can be challenged also. So, Hare Krishna.